You're worth it. Praise God. Now, we've been talking in this series about your worth, and that Jesus has put an amazing value on each one of us. And he's the one who determines the value, not us. And sometimes I think we look in the mirror and we see all, we wake up in the morning, we know all of our flaws, we know all of our faults, we know all of our insecurities, right? And sometimes we focus so heavily on them, we forget the fact that we're worth it. We forget the fact that Jesus died for you. He said you were worth it. And so in this series, we've been talking about how we need to understand that we are worth it in order to receive spiritual health. Last week, we talked about love because it was Valentine's Day. And today, we're going to be talking about spiritual health. Next week, mental health in the soulish realm. And then the following week would be body. Why is it that we are worth it to receive health in every one of those areas? Because Jesus is the one who determined the value of it. Let's go before the Father as we approach him and his word. Father, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you, God, that as I minister, Lord, that you would bring life and clarity. Lord, that you would bring peace to those that are listening. Those, Father God, that open up their hearts to receive the incredible word of God that you've given us. Father, we thank you for speaking through me today as I speak. Lord, build up your body and help us to be more and more like you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was thinking about it. How many in here, you've enjoyed a good buffet before? Anybody enjoy a good buffet? Wouldn't it be interesting that you could just go to a buffet somewhere and you could just eat like everything that you wanted, and then you wouldn't have to eat for a whole nother week? Wouldn't that be interesting? Anybody? Wouldn't that be great? I guess some of you feel like that. Have you ever been on a, I've never been on a cruise, but I'm told that that's what it's like on a cruise. You feel like you don't want to eat again. But guess what? You wake up the next morning and you probably are going to eat again. That is just what our bodies are created to do, right? We need nourishment on an ongoing basis. Now, spiritually speaking, that is the same. We need spiritual nourishment on an ongoing basis in our spiritual health. So I began to meditate a little bit about spiritual health. And I asked myself this question, what is a healthy Christ follower? Because if we're going to talk about spiritual health today, you know, everybody's talking about being healthy, you know, between the vaccine and us wearing masks and us socially distancing. And this has been going on now for almost a year, if you can believe it, right? And it can get very laborious for all of us. But one of the things that we want to do is we want to be healthy, naturally speaking. How much more should we want to receive spiritual health from our Heavenly Father? Well, first of all, in order to receive spiritual health, we need to know that we're worth it. So we've been talking about we're worth it the last couple of weeks. We're worth it because he's the one, right? He's the one who made us in his image, if we'll review a little bit from week one. We're worth it because he accepts us even in our brokenness, pain, and confusion. We're worth it because he purchased us. And he determines the purchase price, not us. So as I began to think about what makes a Christ follower, what makes us healthy? What makes somebody spiritually healthy? I came up with four things that maybe might help you. And as we approach the word today, we're going to see some things in the scripture that are going to help us in each one of these things. One of the first things I came up with in my study is that a Christ follower is a healthy, spiritually healthy Christ follower is one who's growing through the Word of God. It's one who is growing through the Word of God. In other words, they're not just reading their Bible once a week, and then that's that. But instead, there is an ongoing nourishment. There's an ongoing nourishment from the Word. The second thing of somebody who is spiritually healthy is one who is growing in prayer. One who is growing in prayer. Prayer is simply a conversation with God and talking to God on a regular basis. Not just about your needs, but about, God, I just want to minister to you. That's what worship many times is about, for us to find our worth in Him, is to get into worship and begin to just talk to Him and worship and adore Him. And so the other things that makes last two things that make a healthy Christian, a Christ follower, is one who's growing in Christian connection. One who is growing in Christian connection. That means Christian relationships, brothers and sisters in Christ. That means being a part of a local church, a gathering together. And then the fourth one that makes a healthy Christian is one who is sharing their faith with others. One who is actually sharing their faith with others. That those four things should help you get a picture in your mind this morning of what a healthy, spiritually healthy Christian is. Is number one, one who is growing through the Word. Number two, one who is growing in prayer, if you're taking notes. Number three, one who is growing in Christian connection. And number four, one who is sharing their vibrant faith with others. All right, so those are four aspects of being a healthy Christian. And everything from reading after things in the Word of God, that's what I came up with. Turn with me to 3 John 2. Let's just see what John's prayer was. What John's prayer was and what I believe God's will is for each one of us. It says this, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I greatly rejoiced when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." I believe that in that scripture right there, we see so much meat on what it means to be a healthy Christian. Healthy in spirit, soul, and body. We see that embodied in this verse. That God has a will for you. But in order for us to receive that, last week we talked about the famous swimmer that almost made it across the Channel Islands passage there in California from Catalina Island back to L.A., swimming. And she almost made it. She came short by just a mile or so because she couldn't see. She couldn't see. There's so many obstacles for us to know that we're worth it in order to receive spiritual health. We need to know that God loves us. We need to know that His love just covers so much in our lives. It covers our shame. It covers our inability to sometimes function the way we ought to. His love covers, and His love is powerful. You know, Gordon MacDonald wrote a book about getting to know God, and one of the things he said was, we should ask ourselves a question when it comes to our spiritual health. He said we should ask these five questions. Whom are you trying to please? Now let that one sink in just for a moment. You know, this is kind of the start of a new year. We're a month and a half into a new year. This is the time when you start scheduling your annual physical, right? If you haven't already scheduled it ahead of time, you're scheduling your annual physical. You know, sometimes I think we need to do a spiritual. We need to ask ourselves some spiritual questions about our spiritual health. Gordon MacDonald put it this way. He said, whom are you trying to please? Number two, what insecurities are you pampering? What insecurities are you pampering? In other words, you're not facing some of those insecurities. If you want to overcome them, you can overcome them with the word. Number three, with whom or what are you pampering? Right? Could be a habit. It could be something that God is dealing with you to change. Could be something the way you're supposed to be changing, the way you interact with a family member, the way you interact with a child, the way you interact with a coworker. Number four, what rewards are you seeking? What rewards are you seeking? And number five, what shame are you covering? These are things that if you would go through them, just like you sit down with your doctor and you go through your symptoms and, hey, how are you doing on this? How are you doing on that? Hey, your weight's a little bit, you know, maybe you got the COVID-15. Not the COVID-19, but the COVID-15. You know, those kind of things. Maybe there are things that your doctor will go down the list. You know, my doctor is notorious for, you know, pointing out, you know, are you working out? That's like one of his things. Just do something, you know? And I think sometimes we as Christians, sometimes we set these goals. I'm going to have 3 hours of prayer every day. You know, we start off the year that way, and then, you know, we barely get 3 minutes in, right? And so then what do? We just say, well, I had a goal. I can't do the 3 hours, so I don't do anything. You know, one of the life lessons that my wife brought to our marriage was, what can we do? Because I have these idealistic things of what we should do and you know, what we could do and all these. And over the years, one of the things that she would echo over and over to our kids, everything is, well, we can't do that, but what can we do? She brought that to church and ministry and life. It's the what can you do to change some of these things. So remember those five things. Whom are you trying to please? What insecurities are you pampering? With whom or what are you pampering? What rewards are you seeking? And what shame are you covering? Because these are things that sometimes if we would just dig a little deeper with our spiritual life, we can become so much more healthy. Remember, going back to what I said about what makes a healthy Christian is one who's growing through the word, one who's growing in prayer. These are things you can talk to God about in order to receive spiritual health, in order to be that healthy Christian. I'm not saying you have to be, you know, sometimes we look at, well, I'm just going to be a mature Christian. That almost seems like Mount Everest, you know, climbing Mount Everest when, you know, you're still down here, you know, on trying to, you know, step up 3 feet, right? Sometimes that can seem so out of reach to us. If we think of a mature Christian as somebody who's on top of Mount Everest and we can barely, you know, go up 3 steps on a ladder, you know, I think sometimes we talk ourselves out of spiritual health and spiritual maturity because we just say, well, I can't do it. I'm going to just echo my wife here right now and say, what can you do? Can you give it 5 minutes? Can you read one verse before you fly out the door for school or for work? Can you do something? Because if you can do something, it will move the ball down the field. You can do that in every area of your life, church family. You can do that in the area of giving. I've known people who've actually said to me, Pastor, I want to tithe, but I can't because I can't afford to tithe. And I'm like, okay, I get it. But what can you do? And that's not because, and I'm not saying that for my benefit or for the church's benefit. I'm saying that for your benefit. What can you give? You know, because if you can't, then you give what you can in faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? You do it in faith because you stretch yourself. You stretch yourself. You do that if you're working out, if you're doing Zumba, right? Yep. You got to stretch yourself a little bit. If you're working with somebody about almost anything, you've got to push yourself a little bit further than you normally would. What can you do? What can you do? Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. We're going to learn some lessons. A lot of people right now are talking about, quote, the new normal. How many have heard that term?
Yes.
The new normal. Right? I believe there's a new normal for us as Christians. Once we've received Christ, there's a new normal. And we're gonna learn some things from Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I love the story of Zacchaeus. I find it a little bit humorous at times, depending on how you look at it. Sometimes, when you read a story that maybe you were taught in Sunday school, sometimes you can gloss over some things and you don't put yourself in his position. You just kind of still think of it as Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. How many remember that song? Am I the only one? He climbed up. All right, never mind. Okay, so that's all right. Okay, all right. So in Luke chapter 19, we have the story of Zacchaeus, and let me tell you, I like Zacchaeus. We can call him Zach today. All right. We can call him Zach. All right, verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. Okay? So, just like sometimes even in our society, sometimes rich people get a bad rap. I have a feeling he had a rap that was probably worthy of, he was probably not a very nice guy, right? He was the tax collector, and he was rich. And it says here, and he sought to see who Jesus was. But he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. Now look at what that says in verse 3. Verse 2 and 3 of Luke chapter 19. What I find interesting about this story, we're just going to slow it down just a bit. We're not going to gloss over it. Zacchaeus was successful in the world's eyes. Probably not a man who was known. Back then, if you were a tax collector, you really were not well liked. Because you got your wealth most likely by how much you could push and extort people. The Roman government would allow those that were in that position in order, it's whatever they could get. They would get a cut of the taxes. So if they went and collected taxes, the more taxes they could collect, the more money they could make. And so they weren't always looked at with kindness by people. Now Zacchaeus was a little guy, so he probably has some insecurity. All right, I grew up being probably the shortest one in my class up until I was in high school. And so I understand what it means to always be the last guy to be picked on a baseball team or a kickball team or whatever. And, you know, it was like, oh, there's Doug again. You know, one of my best friends, Nick Beret, you've heard me talk about him and before. Nick and I were on the same T-ball team when we were 5 years old. So I've known him for over 50 years, and our dads were actually friends. And there's a picture that I have of Nick and I, last guys on the losing team, and last guys on the bench, the only two guys with, one of these benches they put all the little kids on, the only two guys with our feet dangling off the bench. You know, so I understand what it means to be of shorter stature. Zacchaeus was one of these guys that apparently felt that way. But I want you to see something in verse 2. It says here that who he was, right? But verse 3 says, but he sought to see Jesus. You know, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, you don't have to go there right now, but you can make a note of it. It says, faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. We know from the Gospel of John that Jesus is the Word incarnate. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Zacchaeus heard the Word of God was near him. What did it do? It sparked something in him. He had to see Jesus. Why? Because wherever Jesus went, things happened. Wherever Jesus showed up, stuff happened. He apparently heard that because as a tax collector, you're going to keep your ear to the ground and you're going to hear the gossip. Because you want to know what's going on in the town. You're a connected person. You're like more than, you know, you're just like, you're connected. You know what's, you've got your ear close to the ground. You know what's happening in your town. And he hears Jesus is coming. I love this. I love this. In verse 4, so he, look at what it says. He was of short stature, verse 3. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Zacchaeus is a grown man, a wealthy man, and he actually stoops to a child's level and climbs up into a tree. You don't see grown men climbing up into a tree very rarely, unless they're tree workers. You don't see that. Unless, of course, you're Colin Blair at youth camp. But you might see him do that. Okay, but even Colin's going to be very cautious. He's going to be careful. And so, but you're not going to see typically a grown man jump up and climb into a tree. Why? Because we've lived a little while and we realize you could break a limb. You, not the limb of the tree, you could break your own limb, right? And so we've kind of like, we're a little more cautious. Zacchaeus was so desperate that he wanted whatever obstacle was in his way to get out of the way. The obstacle he had was the crowd. He couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd. He couldn't see it. When you hear the goodness of God and you know that there's something good that happens, Zacchaeus must have heard that Jesus put the religious people in their place. He must have heard that Jesus was a friend of sinners. He must have heard that Jesus was something special. And he knew that he was despised in society. Most likely he may have been spit on because of his position. He may have been maligned. He may have been told what for several times. Not having a value in himself. But he climbs up into the tree. He stoops to a child's level. There's something that it ignites in us. It's a desire to see Jesus. Every one of us, when we heard about the goodness of God and we heard that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When we heard of the goodness of God, something ignited on the inside of us. I've got to see Jesus. I've got to know him. The second thing that happened with Zacchaeus and happened to you and I when we received Jesus, it kindled an action to overcome any obstacle. I want you to think about Zacchaeus had to overcome his pride. He had to overcome his position. He had to overcome his money, his self-image, and even the cultural pressure that was on him to come, and he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see him. He didn't even want to talk to him. Let's keep reading the story. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down today. I must stay at your house. Isn't that like God reaching out to us? Even when we're still trying to hide behind our insecurity, behind our spiritual unhealth, God's reaching out to you. He's reaching out to me, saying, I want you healthy. I want you whole. I have the answer. That's what God is saying to each one of us. He has the answer. So understand, Zacchaeus got kindled to action to overcome. Something ignited to see Jesus. He got kindled to action. But then Notice what happens. Jesus meets him in verse 6. And I love this. Jesus just said one thing to him. There's no conversation that's recorded here. Jesus said one thing to him. There's no, I want you to say, no conversation. Say, you're worth it. He sees you. Notice what he said. Or notice what happened. Verse 6. So he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. There in the heart of each believer, Christ follower, to be healthy, burns an obedience that actually becomes natural. See, an obedience to Christ is not natural when you don't know Christ. But an obedience to Christ becomes natural when you've encountered his love. When you have had every obstacle, every cloud lifted in your life, there is something that happens inside of you. You want to see Jesus. You're willing to go the length to get to him. You will do what is necessary to get to Jesus. I'm reminded of a story from Ed Elliott. When he was a missionary to Southern Africa, he was doing a crusade in one of these areas on a soccer field. And he had thousands coming out to this crusade, filling the soccer field. Little did he know that next to the soccer field was a large prison. And the prison had a lot of prisoners. And what he did not know is that in the middle of his preaching, as he was preaching, the inmates of the prison decided, hey, this is an opportunity for us to escape. There's a crowd over there. There's a distraction. We could get over. We could get by the guards. And we could mill into the crowd. We can escape. So the prisoners plotted this plan, because this was over a course of several day crusade where thousands were filling this soccer field over a course of days. During that time, all the prisoners were listening to the gospel. They were listening to Jesus speaking to them through Brother Ed. They were listening and seeing miracles and signs and wonders. They were seeing blind people see. They were seeing lame people walk. Before long, many of the prisoners were on the edge of the wall and the gate looking. Finally, one night, they made their break. They're going to break and they're going to just mill into the crowd and get away from the prison. That night, they came to Jesus while in the crowd. The reason why we know this story is because they were caught breaking back into prison. The guard said, why are you coming back? You could have easily escaped. And they said, we have friends that need to hear this message. They need to know this Jesus that evangelist is talking about. You see, when our hearts get changed, there is a burning natural happening that happens, that we become obedient and it becomes natural to become more obedient to him. And notice what it says there. He received him with joy. Number four, it consumes us with joy when we find Jesus. Number five, it transforms our life, every facet of it. It becomes the new normal for us to live differently. It becomes the new normal for you not to lie, for you not to cheat, for you not to steal, for you not to covet. For it becomes the new normal because Christ comes on the inside and actually transforms our life. It requires a response from us. If we're going to receive this love, if we're going to receive this amazing new life, there is a response that I believe that every believer, in order to be and live that new normal out, it's going to come from us reading his word regularly. Psalm 42 and 1. Let's go ahead and look at that. Read his word regularly. It says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. If we would have the same desire that Zacchaeus had to learn more about God, to actually open up the Word of God and feed on the riches that are in there, feed on the nourishment that is in there. Psalm 119 and 9 said this, how shall a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed according to the word. It goes on to say in verse 11, thy word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. The New Testament is full of references to the power of God's word. Jesus declared in John 17:17. Go ahead and turn there. John 17:17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. This is spiritual health that you're worth it to receive. If you would respond to the love of God, respond to the goodness of God, I believe God will help you be spiritually healthy in this new year. Paul reinforces this cleansing power of God's word in Ephesians 5:26. Let's turn to Ephesians 5:26. I know I'm going fast for time's sake. I want to encourage you. Just try to jot it down and maybe go along with it afterwards. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word of God. Speaking of husbands and their wives. I want to tell you that God's word is going to be so important for you to nourish yourself to have spiritual health. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, there's no question about it. The nourishment that you need to have a vital spiritual life as a believer, is going to come from God's word. It's going to come from God's word. Regularly read his word. Regularly read his word. And number two, have consistent conversations with your father. Consistent conversations. What am I talking about? Prayer. That's what I'm talking about. Consistent conversations. You know, sometimes we think of prayer in this mystical way that I've got to be, you know, I've got to be on my knees. I've got to be in church in order to pray. No, you can pray driving down the road. Many times I am praying. Sometimes I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I'm just praying. People think, you know, before we had earpieces and cell phones, people probably thought I was nuts because I'd be at the traffic light talking. You know, people thought, now we have cell phones. Everybody looks like they're talking to somebody. But so why not talk to God? Turn off the radio. Turn off the cell phone. Talk to him. Be consistent in your conversation. Have consistent conversations. Number three, refresh and receive from other believers. Refresh and receive from other believers. How are you going to do that? You're going to do that through a local church. You're going to do that through a local church. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. You see, good health, spiritual health, requires that the believer meet regularly with other believers. It's the support structure that contributes to our receiving spiritual health. I liked what one writer said, and in fact, Shekinah Glory is a ministry group. They've actually been here at our church before, and they are just a dynamic trio, musically and teaching the word. Two ladies and a guy, and they sing, and they worship, and they move with the Holy Spirit, and it's just an amazing experience if you haven't ever been around them. But many years ago, one of the ladies in the group wrote a book called Some Assembly Required. What was she talking about? The local church. You know, sometimes you get instructions on something that you buy from IKEA or Costco, and it might say some assembly required. Sometimes it's really difficult. But, you know, God made it really easy. He said, just be a part of a local church. Be a part of a family of believers. Why? Because we all need help sometimes. We need to have, as what Pastor Christine said, iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpeneth another. The next thing that we need to know is that we need to give away, give generously our faith away. What do I mean by that? Share your faith. Share your faith with somebody. Whatever it is you know about Christ, share it with somebody. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm actually closing. Thought I'd tell you guys that since I'm kind of rattling off so much today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 19, it says this. It says, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. I love that. Be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors. We're the ones who are actually representing Christ. And God is telling us, be an ambassador. Reach out to somebody. Share what you know. You don't have to wait until you get a Bible degree to go share what you know. You just share what Jesus has done for you. You share, you start somewhere, right? Give God something to work with. What can you do? Well, Jesus changed my life. Let me tell you how. I'm telling you, when I first became a Christian, my friends just wanted me to shut up because all I wanted to talk about is what the Bible said and what I learned. Can I show you this verse? Can I ask you a question? What do you think of this? What about this? What about this? I mean, they wanted, I'm sure, there were times they wanted me to shut up. But I didn't shut up. I was going to keep sharing, and I was going to keep sharing that God was good to me, and I knew it. I knew that at one point I was lost, and now I was found. Just like Zacchaeus, something happened where there was an amazing transformation. Go back to our story as we finish this up. And Zacchaeus made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. Verse 7. And when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he's gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Verse 8. Look at this transformation. I want you to see spiritual health totally in action right here. It says this. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. If I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God wants you and me to have a new normal, and that is to be spiritually healthy. That is to be that example to those around us. I gave you several things to think about in staying spiritually healthy. I said you need to regularly read the Word of God. You need to regularly read the Word of God. Number two, you need to have consistent conversation with your Father, your Heavenly Father. Talk to Him. If you had a crummy day, talk to Him. I'm serious. If you're disappointed with one of his books, let me tell you, there have been times when I have prayed and I said, God, I'm really upset with one of your children. What do I mean by that? Maybe I was upset with another believer. Yeah, you can talk to him like that. You can talk to him. You can have consistent conversation. You can refresh and receive from one another in the body of Christ. Be a part of a local church. connect. If you can't connect in person like we're doing right now, connect online. Be a part. Reach out one to another. How can I pray for you? And then the other thing is to give generously of your faith. Give generously. Give it away. Give your faith away. Share what you know. Somebody needs a touch from God because there is hope to receive spiritual health. You can be healthy. You can be. And God wants us to know how much He cares, that we're worth it, that He would invest that much. I thought about the story of Zacchaeus as we close. Zacchaeus was a lost man. He was a lost man. Jesus purposely walked by, went right to him. God will send you to the person who is waiting to see Jesus. He'll send you to them. Look for it. Ask God, who is that person that needs that touch, that word? Because I'm telling you, one word from God would change their life. It'll change their life. It'll change your life. When God gives you spiritual health, it's not rocket science. It's feeding on the word, right? It's feeding on the word. It's talking to God. It's prayer. It's being a part of a local church. Being a part so that when you have a rough time, can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? Let me tell you, there have been moments in my 40 plus years of walking with God and sometimes Him dragging me that God has used other brothers and sisters in Christ to keep me going until I could find the strength to do it on my own with His help. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's stand to your feet today. Today I talked to you simply about you're worth it to receive spiritual health. You're worth it to receive spiritual health. Say this out loud. Say, I'm worth it, to be spiritually healthy. You know, the Word tells us that He gave us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. Everything you need is right there in the Word. And I want to just encourage you, if you're watching at home, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, the first thing to do is to receive Jesus into your life. Just like Zacchaeus, you want to see Jesus? Just ask Him, show me Jesus. Show me Him. He will show you His love and His goodness. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray a simple prayer. If you're here, you don't have to pray this. But if you want to pray it, just kind of help us go along with, just to pray it so that those that have never prayed this before would feel more comfortable. We're just going to pray a simple prayer on how you receive Jesus. If you're listening or watching at home, you can follow along and you can pray this right where you are and meet Jesus right where you are. He'll come. He'll live inside of you. He'll bring transformation to you. Hallelujah. Just say this. Say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for my sins, that He was raised from the dead for me. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior this day. I choose to live for Him. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's the first start to spiritual health. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe you recommitted your life today, we want to know about it. Message us. Let us know. We want to send you something to help you out in your spiritual walk with God. And aren't you glad that when you know you're worth it, all the clouds lift, all the obstacles go away, and you can see God so much clearer. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Our closing verse right now, our sending out verse. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out.